by examining the lives of Paul and Barnabas as they conclude their first missionary journey. Then we'll relate that journey to our own. Finally, together we're going to see how our willingness to obey God and choose the right way can so profoundly impact our lives. But not just our lives. Are you ready to see how your choices today could not only affect yourself, but your family? Not only your family, but this generation. Not only this generation, but this millennium. And even change the course of history for eternity. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of today. Thank you for your word, for your people, and the privilege of sharing who you are and all you've done. Pour out your hope into these precious people who have used, you have used so personally to demonstrate your love and grace to me and my family. Thank you for grafting us into this, your family. Let every thought be clear, every point precise, and every word anointed to accomplish your good and perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite my wife Jill up. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning.
Acts 14, 21 through 28. They preached the good news to that city and made many disciples. Then they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening and establishing the hearts of the disciples, encouraging them to remain firm in the faith, saying, "It is through many tribulations and hardships that we must enter the kingdom of God." When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they entrusted them to the Lord, in whom they believed and joyfully accepted as the Messiah. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, where they had spoken the word of salvation through faith in Christ in Perga. Then they went to Attalia. From there, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been entrusted to the grace of God for the work which they had now completed. Arriving there, they gathered the church together and began to report in great detail everything that God had done with them and how he had appointed to the Gentiles a door of faith in Jesus as the Messiah and Savior. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples.
Thank you. You may be seated. This morning's message title, as you likely have already guessed, is called The Right Way. Now, as a brief refresher of what's going on here at this point in the Scripture, in case you've missed the last couple of weeks, or you're just wondering where exactly are we in the Bible, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas have been out on a journey together. They've traveled many hundreds of miles. They've been to some challenging places. They've been through some incredibly difficult things. Namely, they were persecuted, idolized as gods, oppressed, assaulted by a method called stoning, which literally means to be attacked with stones, and left for dead. Jeez, I thought waiting 10 minutes in the car wash line at Quick Trip was a challenge. Man, by most estimates, Paul and Barnabas have been out on this journey about a year, traveled, as I said, many hundreds of miles on land and by boat, and now they're ready to go back home to their sending church. Here's a photo of where they went. The blue line indicates their journey out, okay? And the red line is their journey back home. And Pastor Mike last week brought us up to where the blue line ends in Derby, and I'm bringing us back to Antioch this morning. Quite a few years back, Pastor Jerry invited us, our family, up to his family cabin for a weekend. We're going to meet up there. When I say up there, I mean way up there. Like upper Michigan. So far north that GPS doesn't even work. And I'm not kidding. Okay? Anyway, the directions were fairly clear until you get within about 10 miles. Then the directions were something like, when the road turns to mostly gravel, keep going. And so you see the unmarked road and then turn on that. Like, seriously? Like, what's the unmarked road? Okay? And to make it worse, we got a late start, as we often do. So by the time we made it to Gravel Drive, it was dark. So as I recall, it wasn't the most pleasant time that we had in our family. And we were convinced we were headed the wrong way. But alas, eventually, we made it. We were, in fact, headed the right way, even when everyone in the car, every identical pine tree around me, And even my internal instinct felt like we were headed the wrong way. Nope. Even though it seemed like the wrong way, it was the right way. So let's dive into these verses today. Verse 21 of the New Living Translation says, after preaching the good news in Derbe and making many disciples, Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Preaching. They preached the word. This is evangelism, called sharing the good news. And the good news means it's the story of Jesus, how he died for all of us, and by truly believing in his name alone, we can spend eternity with God in heaven. It says they made many disciples. That's the process of guiding, of nurturing, and mentoring the new believers. The next word is a big one. You ready for it? Return. They returned. Yeah, I can hear your thoughts. So what? Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been personally rejected? Has anyone ever gossiped about you? Have you ever even been threatened before? I've been all of those things. And I can assure you that my reaction, after making it through those hard times, was stay as far away from them as possible in the future. I mean, for me at least, I take that as a clear sign, wrong way. What would your feeling be about going back to an unsafe place? Now, this passage here could just as easily have read, Paul and Barnabas returned back to Antioch, to their home base, where they started. But it doesn't say that. It lists all the cities again. And I spent a lot of time thinking about that over the last few weeks. Why would the cities be listed? I mean, I know every word in the Bible is there on purpose for a purpose, but I couldn't figure it out. I always glossed over those cities, so I paused and I thought about it, and after I came to the end of any ideas that I had, which were absolutely zero, I decided to pray about it. I should have started there, by the way, but I didn't. And I went back to verse number 19, which Pastor Mike taught us about last week. That verse says they stoned Paul and they dragged him out of town, thinking he was dead. Paul's life was nearly taken from him when he and Barnabas were in Lystra. So on their way home, they returned back to the place where they were not only worshipped as idols, but soon after, Paul was nearly stoned to death. That's where they went back to. That's where they returned to. That's a big word, return. Now, for me, the next logical question is, why on earth would they go back there? But look at verse 22, where they strengthened the believers. The Living Bible says, where they helped the believers to grow in love for God and for each other. They went back to strengthen the new converts, growing in love for God and each other. That's beautiful. As I mentioned a moment ago, that process is called discipleship. It simply means more seasoned believers helping the newer believers to grow in Jesus and to grow in their faith. The second part of that verse says they encourage them to continue in the faith, reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Let's pause here for a moment. Talk about encouragement. Encouragement. What kind of words or phrases do you think of when you hear the word encouragement? What do you think of? Good job. Yeah, how, any of us? Just interactive. Come on. Attaboy. Yeah. Anyone over here? You can do it. Good. Proud of you. Well done. Yeah, awesome. Terrific. Uplifting words, right? Now imagine somebody saying, hey, buddy, got some real encouragement for you today. Things are going to be tough. You're going to suffer. You're going to go through some dreadfully hard times. It's going to be really hard. Have a great day. No, not at all. But this verse here says that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. That's an encouragement. Well, first of all, this is not a works verse, meaning by enduring hardships we earn our way into the kingdom. This verse is talking about to those of us that are already Christians. There will be hard times. There will be tribulations. Christianity isn't the easy road. It's not the easy way, but it is the best way. It is the right way. That's right. Listen to what Jesus said in John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. versions substitute that word tribulation. Other words that we may be familiar with: sorrow, trouble, suffering, trials, oppression, distress, and affliction. You might be thinking, that's not the greatest marketing point for becoming a Christian. But wait, it doesn't end there. Jesus says, but be of good cheer. Meaning be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. Because he said, I, Jesus, have overcome the world. So to me, hearing these words again, we must suffer many hardships from Acts 14:22. Makes a little bit more sense to me now. It is actually an encouragement that there will be hardships, and here's why. Because in a hardship, if we have our eyes affixed beyond the hardship to our destination, we know the hardship is only temporary. Jesus has overcome the world. Our life, our hope, our future, and our peace is in him, in Jesus. But to be clear, just so we understand, God doesn't promise us an easy road. There's ebbs and there's flows, there's mountains and valleys, hills and valleys, ups and downs. So many of us dream of that stable, predictable, steady life without drama or hardship. To us, the sound of a conflict-free existence sounds like utopia. Let's consider this metaphor. Many of us have been in the hospital. Who here has been in the hospital before? Okay. Who here has had a loved one in the hospital? Yeah, that's right. You've probably seen the monitoring equipment. You've either maybe hooked up to loved ones, or as I just said, maybe yourself. Let's take a look. There's a little video here. Look at that. You got your heart rate, you got your pulse, you got your saturation, oxygen levels, all the vital signs being monitored. Take a particular note of how they look. What's the pattern? Ups and downs. Peaks and valleys. All those indicate what? That there is life. Right? Now, let's take a look at this next picture. Flat. It's called a what? Flat line. Totally consistent. Totally predictable. No drama there. No hills and valleys, no ups and downs. How often do we, or put more personally, how often have I taken the ups and downs, or as Jesus calls them, the tribulations, or even any bit of resistance as a sign that the path that I'm on, the way that I'm headed, is wrong? See, many of us are headed on the right path, but when we meet resistance, we misinterpret that as a sign that we're on the wrong path. Worse yet, we view failure as a clear indicator to stop what we're doing. But as Paul and Barnabas are showing us, resistance, opposition, and hardships do not mean we're headed the wrong way at all. No matter what our goal is, spiritual, physical, exercise, getting fit, it's not always pleasant. There are two main forms of exercise. You know what they're called? One is cardio. It's running, race walking. Yay. Hey, I like that. Don't judge me. I like that. You see me walking in Howard like this, just wave and honk, okay? That's Pastor James. That's right. He's putting in his mom. That's how I do it. Okay? Can't believe I just did that. And biking. Is the Lord. Stick to the script, Goshen. Okay. Biking. So it's getting your heart rate up, getting your heart rate moving. That's called cardio training. We're up. We all know that, right? You know what the other one's called? Resistance training. That's right. Resistance training. Talk about an oxymoron. Resistance training. Resistance training is any exercise that causes the muscle to contract against the external resistance with the expectation of increases in strength, tone, mass, and endurance. The idea is that by struggling against resistance regularly, both strength and endurance are increased, resulting in ideal health. I want to share an amazing true story I read in the new edition of Influence magazine. And it reads, Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian watchmaker who, along with other family members, helped many Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust during World War II. She was imprisoned in a Nazi woman's labor camp along with her sister, Betsy. That's his photo. That's Betsy, the older one, and younger Corrie there. Corrie wrote years later, of her conversation with God regarding the condition of their barracks. The circumstances for the inmates were unimaginably horrific everywhere in the labor camp. But Corey discovered that her barracks were the most uninhabitable because of an infestation of fleas. According to Corey, she was complaining to God about the fleas when she suddenly realized the fleas kept the prison guards from entering the barracks. Because of the fleas, Corey and her sister Betsy were able to preach. They were able to lead worship services. And hundreds of women received Christ. God allowed the things she despised into Corey's life to protect her ministry. Corey endured an unspeakable situation. However, by reframing her thinking and embracing the resistance, Corey recognized the benefits of the situation for fulfilling her purpose. See, God can use everything. Resistance, hardship, tribulation. They don't mean we're headed the wrong way. Interestingly, many times it tells us we're headed the right way. Let's look at verse 23. Paul and Barnabas also appointed elders in every church and prayed for them with fasting, turning them over to the care of the Lord in whom they trusted. Note how we see prayer and fasting playing a key role here with important decisions. To establish elders, to appoint elders. Why? For protection, for structure, appointed with authority to lead and to serve. Now, through Celebrate Recovery, which I'm a part of, I had a revelation about authority. I was able to clearly see a major character defect of mine. And how I have failed in this area of submission to authority as far back as I can remember. My earliest memories of school were spending as much time dismissing the rules as studying. I always had a series of excuses, justifications, reasons. And that mentality right there has been so destructive in my life. The times when I've really gotten off track are directly related to when I was most rebellious against authority. Whether it be my parents, my teachers, my bosses, my leaders, or in relationship. It was wrong, and I was wrong. That, I can assure you, is the wrong way. But the right way is following the lead laid out for us here in Acts. And I'm so grateful you all didn't quit on me as I stumbled along to learn this message. Verses 24 through 26 continue to retrace the steps of Paul and Barnabas as they return back to Antioch where their missionary journey started. Last couple of verses here are terrific. Verse 27 says, upon arriving in Antioch, they called the church together and reported everything God had done for them. And now you open the door of faith to the Gentiles too. Verse 27, they reported back to their sending church. Antioch is where they started. We do that here at Living Hope with Tim Kelly, with David Bruning, other missionaries that we partner with. It's interesting. It's insightful. And isn't it really encouraging when a missionary comes in and shares all that God is doing? I love that. I love hearing those reports. Next, it says, everything God had done through them. And we celebrate God's victories. We celebrate what the Lord is doing, right? We don't put our glory on ourselves because we can't do anything without Him, can we? But He calls us to partner with Him through His Spirit. He does the work. We just have the privilege of being there along for the ride. We keep the focus on His power, and then He gets the glory. After that, it tells us how God opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. We're going to skip over that for a moment. We'll come back to it, I promise. Verse 28 says, and they stayed with the believers for a long time. They rested. And all the nappers said, amen. There's one napper in here, and it's my wife. Not true. They re-energized. That's important for all of us. Don't miss this point. Sometimes we think go, go, go is the right way. It's not. God's telling us the time for rest is good. It's necessary. And that's the right way. I read all these verses, 21 through 28, and I had a funny thought. Here's Paul and Barnabas taking this extended year to 2 year trip together, a couple of years out on the road, so to speak, and what do? I made a list of just the attributes. Okay? Listen to what they did. They preached. They made disciples. They encouraged. They strengthened, they appointed, they prayed, they fasted, they arrived, they gathered, they reported, they stayed, and they rested. That's pretty awesome, right? Then I thought of some of our family trips. No, this is going. Certainly not a year-long excursion. I'm talking about like a weekend getaway. Pack the truck up. Now, mind you, with the kids. Here's our action words. Whine. Complain. Argued, bickered, huffed, pouted, sulked, griped, grumbled, bumbled, aggravated, irritated, cried, and temper tantrumed. And that was just me. Hey, don't say amen. So in conclusion, here's my real journey. Let's take a look at this chart here. Not that one. Let's put the other one up. Other one. There it is. Thank you. Okay. So you can see this is a chart of ups and downs. Spikes and crashes, highs and lows. Literally, this is my life the past 6 days. Okay? This is every blood sugar that I've had. I made a chart of it. So, when people ask me how I'm doing, sometimes it's hard to answer. Maybe I should just carry this around. Because this is the hard data. My exact blood sugars from last Friday through Saturday, from last Friday through Friday. Now, on this next chart, I did add some more specific information. A small greenish gray line on the bottom, that represents normal. If you do not have type 1 diabetes like I do, that's where your level is all the time. No matter how much or little you eat, no matter what kinds of food you eat, no matter the sugar content of what you drink, no matter how much or little you exercise, regardless of any other sickness or stress you are under, my friends, you are always in that gray line. And I wish, honestly, I knew what that felt like. But for me, it's not like that. So, you can see some gravely dangerous numbers here. Tuesday at 4:45 p.m. was the high of 593, which is very, very, very dangerous. There's no rational explanation for it. I had actually jogged 7 miles earlier that day, which typically would make my blood sugars crash low. I could easily have slipped into a coma, but by God's grace, I did not. I came to church and I refed a couple of Able Church basketball games. Even earlier this morning, at 3:45 a.m., I awoke shaky, perspiring, disoriented, and scared with a blood sugar of 44 at 3:45 this morning. So, you can see lots of highs, lots of lows. I went to see my doctor last week. We've got an ongoing relationship, and this is our best collective effort at the moment. To me, I look at this chart, and I see a lot of resistance. But what I don't see is surrender. So, what does that mean for you today? You probably don't have a blood sugar chart like this. But you do have your own hills and valleys that you're facing. But your own struggles and your own resistance. And my message to you this morning is as much as within your power to go the right way. Remember how at the onset of the message I told you your choices could not only affect yourself, your family, but also the generation of the millennium and change the course of history? Let's tie that into the verse that we skipped over. Verse 27. They called the church together and reported everything God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles too. The door of faith, that phrase changes everything. I'm here today because Paul and Barnabas chose the right way. Their commitment to follow the right way means that the door of faith, the good news about Jesus, was preached to people like us, Gentiles, which simply means non-Jewish. And that message has been passed down through the millennium, preserved and shared globally to this day. Paul and Barnabas faced persecution, rejection, death, scorn, resistance, and unimaginable obstacles and resistance. Yet still the decision to obey God changed my life. And it's still changing my life. It changed my eternity. And it changed every single person who identifies as a Christian since the church began approximately 2,000 years ago. If you're a Christian today, you already know your choices impact you, but did you realize your choices in God's timetable and with His vision could literally affect millions of people? Could Paul and Barnabas in their wildest imaginations have ever even considered the millions of people that would be saved by Jesus and the spread of His message to Gentiles just like us? Who but God could know that? And who but God knows how impactful our decisions, your decisions today, might affect the people you love and the people God loves throughout generations. Now here's even more good news. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, if He's not yet in control of your life, the message about the door of faith being open can change your life as well. Because the door of faith that was open, the door of faith that was preached to the Gentiles like you and me, that door is still open. And that door is Jesus Christ, by whom our only entrance into heaven. So with every head bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you would say, yes, I'm ready to surrender to Jesus today. I'm at the end of me, and clearly, I'm ready in faith to trust Him. I'm willing to accept His free gift of salvation by entering that door of faith, which was opened so long ago. If that's you today, just please raise your hand. Joining here. You're surrendering to the Lord. He'll meet you right where you are, right as you are. Let's take a moment here. We're going to pause. We're going to sing the chorus of this beautiful song, Holy Spirit. We're going to keep our eyes closed. And if you're ready to come alongside us as we journey together down the right way, just slip your hand up. We're going to keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed as we sing. Say, yes, I'm ready today. I'm ready today. I'm ready today. Let's close with prayer. Please repeat after me, everybody. Lord, thank you for your word, for your spirit, for your son, and for your people. Please forgive me in how I have sinned against you. I believe in you. And I accept you, Jesus, as my only Savior. I want to be who you made me to be, so that I may honor you in everything I say and do, today and for the rest of my life. I'm ready to go the right way with your help. In Jesus' name. Thank you for letting me share this morning. You are dismissed.